कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लामा गिरवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लामा गिरवर धारी। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರ ಸದಾಶಿಶ್ರೀ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಐಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ ನಿತ್ಯಾಯ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲರಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter number 39, Text number 33. And because there is no purport, we will read few texts until text number 38. Okay. So Chapter 10, Canto 10, Chapter number 39, Text number 33. Is 33 on the board? All are there. Okay. We will read 33 together and then the rest I will read alone.
Gopastam anvasa janta. Gopastam anvasa janta. Nandatya sakataistatha. Nandatya sakataistatha. ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ. ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ. ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್. ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್. ಗೋಪಸ್ತಂ ಅನ್ವಸಜ್ಜಂತ ನಂದಾದ್ಯಾ ಸಕಟೈಸ್ತಥಾ ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್ ಗೋಪಸ್ತಂ ಅನ್ವಸಜ್ಜಂತ ನಂದಾದ್ಯಾ ಸಕಟೈಸ್ತಥಾ ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್. ಗೋಪಸ್ತಂ ಅನ್ವಸಜ್ಜಂತ ನಂದಾತ್ಯಾ ಸಕಟೈಸ್ತಥಾ ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್. ಗೋಪಸ್ತಂ ಅನ್ವಸಜ್ಜಂತ ನಂದಾತ್ಯಾ ಸಕಟೈಸ್ತಥಾ ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್. ಮತಜಿಸ್ ಗೋಪಸ್ತಂ ಅನ್ವಸಜ್ಜಂತ ನಂದಾಯ ಸಕಟೈಸ್ತಥಾ ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್. ಗೋಪಸ್ತಂ ಅನ್ವಸಜ್ಜಂತ ನಂದಾಯ ಸಕಟೈಸ್ತಥಾ ಆದಾಯೋಪಾಯನಂ ಭೂರಿ ಕುಂಭಾನ್ ಗೋರಸ ಸಂಭ್ರಿತಾನ್.
Gopaha, the cowherd man, Tam, him, Anvasajanta, followed Nandayaha, headed by Nanda, Sakatai, in their wagons, Tataha, then, Adaya, having taken Upayanam, offerings, Bhuri, abundant, Kumbhan, claypots, Gorasa, with milk products, Sambhritan, filled. Translation. There is no purport, so just translation. Led by Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men followed behind Lord Krishna in their wagons. Maybe we can just try to get into the Leela. No? Just visualize yourself what is actually happening, because I have to read 4 or 5 verses before I speak, you know, what I want to speak in the content. So if we just get into the Leela itself, what is happening, it will bring out the nectar that this particular episode has got to offer. You know? So just visualize it in our mind what is happening. Led by Nanda Maharaj, so there is Nanda Maharaj, we picturize him, and followed by the cowherd man. So then there is cowherd man, and cowherd man is being led by Nanda Maharaj. So that's the picture. In their wagons. What is the wagon? Chariot. Because there were no cars that time, right? So you can't visualize a car or, you know, or a taxi or something. What do you call it here? Ola, something, you know? There is a chariot. So in the chariot, there is somebody going, Krishna and Balram, and they are being followed by Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men. The men brought along many offerings for the king. The king is Nanda, including clay pots filled with ghee and other milk products. So if we go one step back, what happened, you know, day before yesterday, Ekadashi, or actually 2 days before, when, you know, when we were reading Bhagavatam last, we see that, and I'm trying to, you know, put the text in its context. There is Akrura who is taking Krishna along with Balram on the chariot away from Vrindavan, away from the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, gopas and gopis. So that is the scene. So in this particular text, we are seeing that the chariot has started moving, and everybody is following the chariot with their offerings and whatever heartfelt. Where is Krishna going? What do gopas do? Let's see next verse. Text number 34. Gopyascha, that's on the board now, 34. They can see. Gopyas, and I'll read this alone, yeah, in the interest of time. Gopyascha daitam krishnam anuvrajya nuranjitaha pratyadesham bhagavataha kankshantayas chavatasthire. Translation. With his glance, Lord Krishna somewhat pacified the gopis. So now we get the gopis in the picture as well. Previously it was Krishna, Balram, Nanda Maharaj with the gopas. Now the gopis are in the picture as well. And Krishna with his side glance is pacifying the gopis. Pacified the gopis, and they also followed for some time. So the gopis are also following the chariot for some time. Then, hoping he would give them some instructions, they stood still. So the gopis are chasing Krishna, running after Krishna, thinking Krishna will say something. But when Krishna keeps going, pacifying him with his side glance, the gopis are now standing. Why standing? Because there is only so much you can follow a chariot when you are on your feet. Yeah. So they stand. Next, text number 35. Tastatha tapaitir vikshya swaprasthane yaduttamaha santvayam asasa premair ayasya iti dautyakhai. Translation. As he departed, as Krishna departed, the best of the Yadus, who is Krishna, so how the gopis were lamenting. What are the gopis lamenting? We'll figure out later. And thus he, Krishna, consoled them by sending a messenger with his loving promise, I will return. So if you are picturizing the scene, now we can get into the mood as well. Because the gopis are lamenting that Krishna is leaving, and Krishna is pacifying them with just his, not just his glance, but also his sweet words, loving words. And what are the words? I will return. Is this good enough for the gopis? Well, something is better than nothing. They would have liked him to say, okay, I will not go. I will stay back longer. That would have been the best for the gopis. But something is better than nothing. He's saying, I will return. 36. Yavat alakshayate ketur yavat renurathasya cha anuprasthati pitatmano lekhya nivopalakshitaha. Translation. Sending their minds after Krishna. These are the gopis. So what had happened to the gopis physically? The head stood still. But what is moving is the mind. So the chariot is moving with Krishna and Balram. The gopis are standing now because they can't keep going behind the chariot. But their mind is moving. What do we learn here? You know, when we are moving away from Krishna, or Krishna seems to move away from us, then our mind can travel with Krishna. And we'll talk about that as well. So sending their minds after Krishna, the gopis stood as motionless as figures in a painting. They remained there as long as the flag atop the chariot was visible, and even until they could no longer see the dust raised by the chariot wheels. So when Krishna is leaving the chariot, the gopis are watching. And then when the chariot kind of becomes invisible, they are trying to see that flag on top of the chariot. When the flag disappears, they are trying to see the chariot. When the chariot disappears from their vision, they are at least trying to see the dust that is now wafted in the air with the moving chariot. So somehow or the other, any paraphernalia to do with Krishna is what they are trying to visualize and meditate upon. But their minds are with Krishna. 37. Tanarasha niva vrtur govinda vinivartane Vishoka ahani ninyur gayantiyaha priya chestitam. So when we feel that separation from Krishna, and this is the topic for the day today, separation from Krishna, then what happens? There is sometimes nirasha. Nirasha means lamentation, sorrowful. And there is vishoka, which is again, you know, you are feeling despondent because why is my beloved not there? So when there is nirasha and there is vishoka, what do we do as devotees? Gayantiha priya chestitam. We do gayanta. What do we gayanta? We do Krishna katha. Translation. The gopis then turned back without hope that Govinda would ever return to them. Full of sorrow, they began to spend their days and nights chanting about the pastimes of their beloved. This is a lesson for us, you know. When we feel separation from Krishna, there is always Krishna Katha, the Vani association. So we can always chant, we can always hear lectures. 38. I believe that's the last verse. Bhagavan api samprapto Rama krura yuto nirpa Rathena vayu vegena kalindim aghanashinim. Translation. My dear king, the Supreme Lord Krishna, traveling as swiftly as the wind in that chariot with Lord Balaram and Akrura, arrived at the river Kalindi, which destroys all sins. So now the chariot has reached Mother Yamuna, and the gopis are standing, their mind is moving with Krishna, and they are doing Krishna Katha in separation with Krishna. Sorry? Oh, there was purport as well, sir. Thank you. First purport. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that Lord Krishna secretly lamented his separation from the gopis. So Krishna is also lamenting his separation as much as the gopis are lamenting Krishna's separation. And what is this separation? What kind of bhava is this? Prabhupada writes, no, Prabhupada's disciples write, these transcendental feelings of the Lord are part of his supreme pleasure potency. So it's a transcendental bhava exchange. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadesa Tarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to begin by offering my most humble gratitude to the temple management for giving me this opportunity to speak Krishna Katha in Krishna Balaram Mandir. It's an honor for me, a privilege for me, and actually an overwhelming experience, to be honest, because I'm sitting here for the first time. So my special gratitude to Dharmatma Prabhu, for having the faith in me, and for Krishna Arjun Prabhu and his dear wife, Rati Manjari Mataji, for inspiring me to speak here. I'm actually a very small fish in a big pond at the moment. By way of introduction, my name is Madhavananda Das, and I come from a wonderful, beautiful temple in Melbourne, Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, and I live in Melbourne for the last 25 years maybe. But very originally, other than from Vaikuntha, I'm from a very, very small place on the planet Earth, which is an island which is known as Fiji. And most of you probably won't even know where it is, because it's a dot on the world map. It's another roughly 5 hours flight from Melbourne, before you can reach Fiji. So the island itself is a dot on the world map, and I'm that small fish from that island in a big ocean of Vrindavan. So very, very overwhelming experience to be sitting in front of so many Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas, exalted Vaishnavas, pure devotees, and then who am I to speak? But I take my strength and my shelter in something that Maitreya Muni tells Vidura. At the beginning of Canto 3, when Vidura asked a series of questions to Maitreya Muni to speak about Krishna Katha, Maitreya responds with very interesting principle, and that principle is called Yatha Mati Yatha Shrutam. Yatha Mati Yatha Shrutam means what? When we don't know everything about everything, and when it comes to Krishna Katha, we can speak that much that we have heard, yatha shrutam. And yatha mati, that much that we have assimilated, realized, experienced, and that much that our intelligence can take us to. And Prabhupada also gave the example that we may not be Garuda, which can fly everywhere unrestrictedly, but we can be the little sparrows and fly that much. But we should fly. Fly as much as we can fly, because we are in a preaching movement. Yeah? So we go to speak and do seva. So with that principle in mind, I gathered the strength to sit on this Vyasasan, which has been graced by absolutely exalted Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, and it's a true privilege and honor to be sitting here. Another principle that I took shelter of was the copyright. In the modern times, copyright means what? Copyright means that you cannot copy somebody's writings, books, speech, acting, videos, unless you reference them. That is copyright. Now, in our Vaishnava tradition, Bhakti tradition, copyright means what? We have got the right to copy. And actually, if you don't copy, it is wrong. So everything that we speak, we are copying from Srila Prabhupada only, and all the other senior Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya. So what is there of our own? Actually nothing. So what I am speaking today is everything that I have copied from Srila Prabhupada, from our acharyas, from the books, from my favorite lecturers, and whatever I have heard. So feel free to copy. And if in that copying, which is my right and your right, if I make any error, then please humble me by correcting me as I go. So back to the storyline, talking about principles, copying the principles without changing them. So all I have to do is deliver to you according to the way I can deliver, without changing the principle. So the principle at the moment, the text that we are going through and putting it in the mini episode of its context, is that Krishna, there is love of separation, the virha prem or the vipra lamba bhava that we are talking about. Now, I mentioned about a small fish in a big pond. This small fish has also been given the opportunity to talk about a topic that is very lofty. We're talking about gopis' separation from Krishna. Oh my God, it's like extremely overwhelming. So I must admit that I actually don't have much realization on this topic.
But I can take, you know, wisdom from what I have heard, yatha shrutam. Having said that, this morning, I had some experiences actually. And I will tell you later why. You know, there were some moments of love in separation, and maybe that was the plan of the Lord to put it in my system, so that actually I can speak with some realization. And what was that realization, I will share with you in due course of time. So talking about love in separation, let's talk about what is love in separation. First we'll define love in separation, then we will talk about different aspects of love in separation, and then we will some examples, and then we will see how can we tap into this particular, you know, realization that we can cherish, you know, for the rest of our bhakti. So love in separation, let's start with defining. In love, there is reciprocation, correct? Love needs to, the lover and the beloved, and there is always that reciprocation. We give something and we get something back from the lover. There is reciprocation. It's natural. Now, what happens when there is no reciprocation after some time? That also happens, right? In love, sometimes the reciprocation stops. Now, when the reciprocation stops, two things can happen. One, the love can stop. Two, the love can continue. And there are many examples of this. When a boy loves a girl, if the girl stops loving the boy, the love can stop. Or the love can also continue if the love is very strong. So love in separation means we continue to love the beloved even though there may be reasons to stop loving. You follow me? Or was it a bouncer? Love in separation means we continue to love the person that we love even though there may be reasons to stop loving. Here what is happening, Krishna is separate seemingly in Leela, although there is no separation, you know, in essence. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. We'll not go into that part for now. But in terms of following the Leela, seemingly Krishna is separating from the gopis. Gopis have got two choices. To stop loving from Krishna, because why are you leaving us? Or continue to love. And what we saw just now, that the gopis have sent their mind with Krishna. Au Krishna, au Yadava, au Madhava, we will continue to love you no matter what. You be with us physically, you don't be with us, our heart, our mind is with you. This is called love in separation. Let's bring it to some day-to-day experiences, so that we can really get into the mood of today's Bhagavatam topic, yeah? Many examples. When somebody comes home, you know, if we are, when we are very close with them, you know, our families, friends, you know, relatives, when they come home, we save them prasadam, talk nicely, and you know, when it is time to go, and generally in our, you know, Indian tradition, we will go with the person who is about to leave home and start saying goodbye to him at the door. But do we stop there? No, we keep chatting with the person on the doorstep, at the doorstep. And before we know, we have chatted with the person for almost like 20 minutes at the door. Why? Because we are anticipating that separation and we are not accepting to, you know, for that person to go. So we just keep being with the person until the door. Does it stop there? No. Sometimes we even go when in the car and close their doors as they enter the car. So you see what is happening? The person is about to go. We keep following them. Where is this coming from? It's all coming from Krishna Leela only, right? We just saw now. What did the gopis do? When the chariot was going, they kept looking. And when the chariot disappeared, they were admiring and meditating on the dust that was wafting from the moving of the chariot. Take another example very quickly. Let's say, you know, as I said, I come from Melbourne in Australia. No? Somebody's son is about to go to Melbourne to study from India. No? So there's all this excitement in the house. You know, my son is going to, you know, study in Melbourne. And when the day of the departure comes to the airport, the whole family packs up everything, gets into the taxi, goes to Delhi airport. My son is about to depart to Melbourne, like that. And on that note, actually, I'm also supposed to depart today to Melbourne. I've got a flight to catch later on this afternoon. So, as I was saying, I've got that experience of separation from Krishna because I'm about to board a flight tonight. So like that. No, so when the son is about to board the plane to study in Melbourne, what is the mother doing at the airport? There is tears in the eyes. My Sanju is going to Melbourne, you know, and everybody is crying. And when the, you know, when the child goes through the security and, you know, boards the aeroplane through that air bridge, does the mother stop? No, the mother keeps looking at that air bridge. Where is my Sanju? And when Sanju goes inside the aeroplane and sits, the mother is looking at the aeroplane. I mean, if the security guards was not there, the mother would actually enter the aeroplane and put his seat belt, you know, better tie your seat belt, fasten your seat belt, you know, and then put something in the mouth, you know, eat some gulab jamun, drink some water, take care, do bhakti, yeah, do some chanting. No, actually it's the other way around, right? When people go to Melbourne, parents, you know, get bewildered when the son goes to Melbourne temple and he starts his bhakti in Melbourne. It's like, my goodness, I thought, no, my son will become an engineer when he comes back to India with his dhoti kurta and tilak. Parents are completely bowled up. So like that. So when the aeroplane takes off, then what happens? The mother still looks at the aeroplane. And when the aeroplane enters the clouds and disappears completely, the mother is looking at the clouds only. This is where, you know, Sanju is going. So all this bhava is so natural in us because it's there. You know, that's there in our spiritual system, which the gopis are exhibiting. So when the aeroplane leaves and the mother continues to be sorrowful and anticipation and excitement of, you know, when will my son come back? That is love in separation on a mundane platform. Because the love continues. The fact that the son has departed to Melbourne to study, mother does not stop loving the son, although there is physical distance. Now see, if love in separation can be so strong on a bodily platform, in a biological platform, on a mundane platform, just imagine the love of separation on a spiritual platform. How much more of impact it will have. That is why we say that gopis' love for Krishna is the most exalted. Why? Because they continue to love Krishna even in separation. And what happens when there is separation? So far we spoke about what is love of separation, right? The definition of it. Now let's see what happens in love of separation. Many things can happen. Of course, we are talking about one aspect only now. When the love continues. We're not talking about when the love stops. So when love continues, the impact of anticipation to reunite is very, very satisfying. On a material platform, you know, when there is expectation, anticipation of meeting somebody or something again, it can have two consequences. One, satisfaction. The other one, dissatisfaction. For example, you know, if I'm planning to go, let's say, on a holiday to Munnar. Now, two things can happen when I go to Munnar. I may be satisfied because, you know, this is what I expected. Or I may be dissatisfied because all these Google reviews about Munnar was not as good as what I actually thought. No, it's just another place in India. So two things can happen. But on a spiritual platform, when as sadhakas, we are anticipating to meet Krishna, that anticipation is satisfying and purifying. Our current practice of waiting to meet Krishna face to face is purifying and satisfying. And then when we meet Krishna, it is multiplied satisfying, beyond description. So bhakti is satisfying in anticipation. Bhakti is satisfying when there is reunion as well. So bhakti is satisfying in separation. Bhakti is satisfying in union as well. Now, when I say bhakti is multiplied in separation, in anticipation, let me give you an example. Separation does to love what wind does to fire. Separation does to love what wind does to fire. When there is wind and there is fire, what can happen? I come from again, you know, Melbourne, as I said, you know, is a place with a lot of bushfire. I don't know whether you get bushfire in India. You get bushfire here? Not in India? Okay, you're lucky. So there is raging bushfires. Sometimes the whole of Australia can be on fire, literally. You know? Like there will be smoke dark dense smoke, black smoke in the cloud that will just be there for like a week after a massive bushfire. So now when there is a massive bushfire and the wind comes, what happens to the fire? Just engulfs and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. So separation does to love what wind does to fire. When there is separation in love, it just explodes and rages and intensifies and multiplies as if, you know, the wind is blowing onto the fire. Now, does that mean that we should all separate from Krishna so that our love will multiply? Does it mean that? The answer is yes and no as well, depending on how big is the fire. What wind does to fire is two things, don't forget. First one, it can make it bigger and bigger if it's a bushfire. But what if it's a candle fire? Then when the wind comes, the candle is gone. So if our love of Krishna is like bushfire, it will multiply in separation. But if our love of Krishna is like a candle fire which wavers, then when the wind comes, which is separation from Krishna, it will get extinguished. So at my level, at the level of a sadhaka, I will not be able to sustain myself in bhakti without the association of all of you devotees. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hitkarna rasayana katha tadjoshanada swapavarga vartmani shraddhar ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Lord Kapila tells Mother Devahuti, in Canto 4 Srimad Bhagavatam. 3, 4. So satam prasangan mama virya samvido. Samvido means samavar, discussions. So the devotees relish Krishna katha in each other's association. What did the gopis do when Krishna had completely disappeared from their vision and they had stood motionless and they retained? What did they do? Who remembers? They were chanting and hearing Krishna katha, remember? So satam prasangan mama virya samvido. When we are separating from Krishna, when we don't feel his presence, Krishna is always there for us, but sometimes we don't feel his presence. Just as the sun is always there, sometimes we can't see the sun because of the cloudy vision. But Krishna is always there. So when that happens, we do Krishna katha. And satam prasangan mama virya samvido. In the association of devotees, we relish and grow our bhakti. Satam prasangan mama virya sam bhavanti hirit karana rasayana katha. This katha has got rasa, which chains our heart. And then shraddha ratir anukram satam prasangan mama virya samvito bhavanti hitkarna rasayana katha tad joshanat aswapa varga vartmani. Apavarga means liberation. We march towards liberation. Pavarga means material contamination. Apavarga means liberation. So tad joshanat aswapa varga vartmani, and then shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishti. Three things happen. We get shraddha more and more in Krishna katha. We get ratir and we get bhakti. So this is how our Krishna consciousness explodes. So the gopis' love here we have seen for Krishna is the most exalted because their love intensified in separation. Okay, I've got another realization. That remember we saw that Krishna's chariot was moving very swiftly and reached Yamuna. I've just realized that time is also moving very swiftly. And I have reached at 8:45 and I've only got 10 more minutes. And trust me, I've got much more that I had thought I will say, but I now will have to cherry pick how much I can squeeze in the next 10 minutes. Let's see, whatever happens, happens, yeah? Whatever I can squeeze in. Maybe there's yet another time sometimes in the future. So, love means another aspect of love in separation, or another aspect of love itself maybe. Love means we have to give something to the beloved, and love also means we have to give up something for the beloved. When we love somebody, we give them something. And when we love somebody, we also give up something for somebody. For example, Krishna says, the climax of Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma sucha. So there's so many levels of understanding of this verse. Let's just for now concentrate on the first line. Because that is what relates to our topic.
Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja.
Two things Krishna demands from us. Second part first. Mam ekam sharanam raja. What is Krishna asking? Come to me. And what did I say about love? That we give something to somebody. First aspect. So what is Krishna saying? Give yourself to me. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Just come to me. And what was the first aspect? Sarva dharman parityajya. Give up all other varieties of religion. Just come to me. So when we love somebody, now for example, let's say I've got my friend's birthday. Now naturally I'll take him some gift on his birthday. So that is what I'm giving to him because I love him. Now what do I give up for him? What if he says, Madhuananda, my birthday is on Sunday at 1 PM in my house, please come. And then I'm saying, oh my gosh, Sunday, 1 PM, I have got another important commitment. Now there is a dharam sankat. Friend's birthday and another commitment, clash. I have to give up something now. I can't double up. I have to give up something. Now what I give up, apart from of course all practical reasons, what I will give up is dependent on how much I love between the two. If I love my friend more, I will somehow or the other have to rearrange or give up that commitment to be with my friend. So now two things are happening. I'm not only taking a gift for him, but I'm also giving up something for him, which is my another important commitment. So when Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja, Krishna says, you give yourself to me and also give up all the nonsense. Actually, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja. Give up all small type of religions, just do bhakti. But what Prabhupada does for us, brings us to another level down, to the first step, and it's almost like, Sarva adharman parityaja. Give up all adharma. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. Give up all these things. Sarva adharman parityaja. And then, Sarva dharman parityaja. Give up all the other small religions as well. No? This dharma, that dharma, that dharma. And then Krishna. Until then there is separation. Now does it mean though that if we cannot give up, and this is again at my level, at a sadhaka level, and if you can resonate with it, if we have adharmic tendencies, anarthas, aparadhas, especially for me coming to Vrindavan, it is just so easy to commit dhamma aparadha. To commit Nama Aparad, to commit Vaishnava Aparad, to commit Guru Aparad. It's just so easy. Because this is such an exalted place and I'm a new person here. So I have to be extremely careful to guard myself. So if I do those Aparadhas or Anarthas, if I talk rudely to a devotee or something to the taxi driver, then does that mean that, I'm abandoned from bhakti? I cannot enter this bhakti zone? Well, no, Krishna says, that sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma sucha. Even if you have sinful tendencies, you are still welcome. So we may be unqualified to do bhakti, but we are never disqualified to do bhakti. There's a difference between being unqualified and disqualified. Nobody whoever is ever disqualified from coming to bhakti. But we may be unqualified, and the bhakti itself is the atonement to become qualified more and more and more. So everybody is welcome, regardless of our position. Okay, last 4 minutes I've got. So let's just come to some practical application. How do we develop? That's all I have got, right? 4 minutes, yeah. And then I'll take some questions and comments and corrections. So how do we develop this mood of love of separation from Krishna? The gopis are exalted devotees, they are exhibiting it. How do we try to go into this mood of love of separation from Krishna? We, as in I maybe, at my level as a sadhaka, I may not have too many experiences of union with Krishna. And therefore to feel that separation from Krishna is too exalted. For example, the mother is feeling the separation from the son who is going to Melbourne to study. Why that love of separation is there is because she has got tons of experiences of love in union. My son was sitting here, he was eating this, he was dressing this, he was playing cricket in the backyard. All those things she remembers, and she's missing all that. So there are moments that she can think of, not even think of, it automatically triggers in her system that makes her miss the son. But we or I may not have that experience of too much union with Krishna. So therefore the love of separation may not be that strong. But what I do have, and this is when I was saying I got some realization when I was taking Diti Darshan in the morning, is that there are small, small pockets of unions with Krishna. And those things we can relish. For example, like very honestly sharing my own realization, when I was in Vrindavan for the last 2 weeks, taking Darshan on every day was completely a different experience compared to today. Why? Because today when I took Darshan, it triggered to me that tomorrow morning, I will not be taking the Darshan here. Because I'm departing today. So then every day, you know, it may have been little lackadaisical or casual, but today it was very intense. To say, oh my Gauranitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Sam Sundar, I will not be taking this Darshan today. And I was telling myself that I will relish and cherish this moment of taking Darshan, and especially also coupled and compounded with the fact that it was an honor to be lecturing, you know, in Vrindavan Mandir. So this is going to be a memory for me forever. And based on this moment, I can make it a momentum. Small, small moments can lead to momentum when, you know, these things can just keep going more and more and more. So my, let's say, you know, Darshan every day compared to the separation of Darshan today is an overwhelming experience for me today. Like, you know, honestly, some tears were coming to eyes. That, no, I may not see you in this form. I will see you in my beloved Radha Vallabha form in Valvan. That is another story. There is joy of union, you know, in taking Darshan there is also there. But the joy of separation from Vrindavan is also there. So in our lives, whatever small, small experiences you have, anubhava you have, regarding saving Krishna, sometimes chanting, sometimes hearing, sometimes speaking, sometimes doing whatever, you know, cherish those and build onto it so that it becomes a wildfire of bhakti. And that will be very, very pleasurable. I'm just going to say one more thing because I'm really now short on time. To say that we cannot mistake love of separation of Krishna versus separation of Krishna. There's a difference between love of separation and separation from Krishna. Separation from Krishna means going into Maya. That we are separatists. We are doing things that is not in congruence with the will of the Lord. That is separation from Krishna. Whereas love in separation of Krishna is another thing. Means we continue to love Krishna, but we are physically separated from Krishna. Whereas in the other one, we don't know about Krishna. That is a dangerous situation. Prabhupada writes, I think from memory, you know, somewhere around Canto 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the root cause of our suffering, now we may say the root cause of our suffering is ignorance, lack of proper sadhana, our past karma, our prarabdha, our aprarabdha. That is all true. It has got its context. But in this particular context, Prabhupada writes that the root cause of suffering is separation from Krishna. So that's why I was, you know, reminding ourselves that separation from Krishna means forgetting Krishna. Love in separation of Krishna is loving Krishna in separation. So for, you know, for us, choose those moments that inspire us and relish and grow forever. For me personally, you know, and I'll conclude here by saying that, and again, maybe my gratitude, you know, to all the temple management for allowing me to speak, and for Gauranitya Srila Prabhupada to give me the opportunity to be here. You know, one small anecdote I can share, you know, when I first came to Vrindavan, it was in 2005, and that time I was not in ISKCON. I was not even religious maybe. I came to India as a tourist, and I was going to multiple places. There was some religiosity in family life, so, you know, so I wanted to visit some holy places. I was little bit connected to ISKCON in Fiji, but not very, you know, regularly. So I wanted to visit the temple. And when I came out of the taxi, I still remember. I literally remember what happened. When I came out of the taxi, That time there was probably not too much of crowd, you know. So there was not too much of crowd control and all that. I came from the front gate and I came at the door, and just as I was coming down the steps, guess what happened? The door closed. The front door closed. And I was with a local Brajavasi, and he said, we can go through the side door. And we came through the side door, and those doors closed. So as we came there and there, the doors kept closing. Like, I was very honest with you, I was not overly eager to see, take Lord's darshan when I had come to India, when I had come to Vrindavan. But when I came all the way here and the door closed, that tormented me. To say, Krishna, like, you know, you didn't give me your darshan. Fast forward 10 years, 15 years later, when I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and when Narad Muni goes through this experience. No, he's Narad Muni in his previous life, when he's a small boy of 5 years, and the mother gets bitten by the snake and all that thing. And when Narad Muni intensifies his bhakti at the age of 5, and the Lord gives him darshan, and then the Lord shuts the darshan. Narad Muni is like, oh my God, where are you, God? Oh my God, where have you disappeared? And Narad Muni is overwhelmed with the situation and desperation. He wants to see the Lord. And the Lord says, next life. No? This anticipation of separation from me, my dear Narad Muni, in my past life, will lead you to intensify your bhakti, and you will take my darshan again in next life. So for me, when I was reading Bhagavatam, I was recollecting my experience of coming to Vrindavan, and the Lord shut the door. And that anticipation was there, that actually one day I will come to Vrindavan again. And that maybe would have been the stimuli to grow my bhakti. And that was 2005. Fast forward 20 years, that Gauranithai, you know, out of his causeless mercy, has put me in front of all of you on the Vyasasana. So just imagine the emotion that, you know, is changing in my heart. You know, experience of 20 years of separation from Krishna, to an experience of today, you know, when I come to Vrindavan regularly with the Lord's mercy, and after the 20 years of waiting, you know, being given the honor to speak to all of you who are all very senior to me, is an experience that I cannot verbalize, but it's something that I can cherish and continue for the rest of my life. I had much more to say, but in the interest of time, I have to stop here. Thank you so much for listening to me and tolerating me. And please pardon me if I said something that was not right. And maybe correct me as well if there is few minutes left for question and answers. I really don't know. I'm new here. So I really don't know what the protocol is. It's 8:57. I've got 3 minutes. That much I know. I have got 3 minutes to take a comment or a question or a correction. Minimum 3 minutes, right? Do I have more time, or this is it? This is it? Okay, I'll take 2-3 questions. Thank God.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, even in the material world, mother's love for her child is tinged with material quality. Is it not transcendental? Because mother's love for child is selfless. But even that is tinged with mundane feeling. That is not transcendental love, selfless love that your mother has.
Yeah.
Krishna says Surut Sakam, he is the only well-wisher.
Yeah.
In Bhagavad Gita he says, yeah. But mother, yeah, is not the ultimate well-wisher.
Yeah, yeah. So very good question. So Prabhupada, so you've got a very interesting point, because Prabhupada says the love for God that we are aiming to experience, and the closest example that we can give of is the mother's love for the child. That is the closest example. That's not the perfect example. Why? Because it's still on a biological platform. No, it's not on a spiritual platform. The mother's love for the child is the closest example of our love that we can develop for Krishna. But why is it not transcendental? Is because the mother's love for the child is based on the fact that the mother thinks that this child has come out of my body. So it's a bodily platform. Now what if in the next life, that child comes out of another mother's body? Will the mother continue to love that soul as much as she was loving that soul person in this life? The answer is no. He might actually be our enemy in the next life. Our son in this life may well be our enemy in the next life. So the bodily platform is there. But at least in that bodily platform, that love is very selfless. So yes, it is very selfless, but it is not transcendental. Because transcendental means transcending the body. and coming on the soul platform. Yeah? Anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the very heartfelt class. So, just a simple question. You explained separation of the gopis. Can you give some references of some Vaishnava songs where these emotions of gopis are, or feeling of separations are described?
Can I give some references of bhajans? You can see, the other thing I won't be able to quote on hand, but I can give you offline. But what also we can know is that all our bhajans, all our chanting, there is multiple moods that we can grow out of it. So for example, in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, when we chant that, we can chant in the mood of union with Krishna. We can also chant in the mood of love in separation with Krishna. Because the Mahamantra is Krishna. So Krishna is going through our heart. Pravishta karna randhrena swanam bhava sororuham dhunoti samalam Krishna sarilasya yatha sarat. So pravishta karna randhrena, when that name is going through our ears, pravishta karna randhrena swanam bhava sororuham, there is bhava emanating in our heart. And then dhunoti samalam Krishna. What does Krishna do? Dhunoti. He cleanses our heart. Salilasya yatha sarat. Just as the autumn rain cleanses the muddy water, Krishna name entering the ear cleanses our situation, our consciousness. So that when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that mantra is cleansing us in union, and that mantra can also cleanse us in separation, because we can say, Krishna, your nama is going through. Now, can I get your darshan as well? No? Krishna Arjuna Prabhu was telling me the other day, no, when we chant, and if also the Leela is playing simultaneously, although it is not necessary, because it is Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam Eva Kevalam. It is not Harer Leela, Harer Leela Eva Kevalam. But if the Nama is naturally, automatically, spontaneously leading to Harer Leela, then it is, in Hindi we say Sone Pe Suhaga. It is a double whammy. It is called icing on the cake in, no? In English idiom. So it's a double win-win. So you can pick any bhajan and take, you know, that mood out of it. But in terms of explicitly expressing a mood out of it, I won't be able to think it on the spot. But I can certainly give it to you offline. Okay?
Thank you.
I'm going to take last question or correction, I think. And then I will be told to stop. Unless there is, we have exhausted. Maybe actually not. Yeah?
Thank you so much for the class. I just wanted to say that maybe Gopi Gita could be a very
Yeah, actually. Yeah, thank you. There you go. Yeah, probably not a better, nothing better than Gopi Gita itself, because it comes in this context only. The Gopi Gita will, in one sense, it's a Gita collectively by all the Gopis, exactly to the situation. And in another sense, you know, it is individual prayers of each gopi, culminating into the final prayer by Srimati Radharani to Krishna, because gopi's love for Krishna is exalted. But then Radharani's love for Krishna, it's uncomparable. And Radharani is composing gopi git in separation of Krishna only. So, no, nothing better than that. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Okay. We'll park it here. Thank you so much once again. Please bless me, and please keep praying that, you know, my bhakti grows when I'm going back to Melbourne today, and an opportunity to come back to Vrindavan as well whenever the Lord desires. Granthrashina Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.